Good afternoon. This is Harold Franklin, pastor of New Creation Christian Center. We're located at 7728 Rainier Avenue South. We have services on Saturday at 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. Please come out and join us. You'll be encouraged by the Word of God. You'll be stirred by the presence of God, and you'll witness the power of God in your life. So we look forward to seeing you in the future real soon. God bless you.
Hallelujah. So I'm going to say this, man. Let us say this together. Say, I can access the power. Say it like you mean it. Say, I can access the power. Say, I will be everything the Word tells me. And this, as we continue in this message, the powers in God, what we are going to do is remember how we can access these powers. Anybody remember some of the times or the things that I've been speaking on as far as the powers that are in God? Anybody remember some of the things that we've been talking about? I know it's been months. I've been preaching on this for the last 3 months, 4 months. Can't remember? Okay. A couple of them were the Word of God, right? I guess somebody can guess the other one, right? What's the next one? Prayer. There you go. Look, I always tell people, man, if you say the Word of God and prayer when somebody asks a question in church, you're always going to be right. Amen? But these are some ways that we can access power in God. Today, I am going to preach on the power in our testimony. Now, a lot of us, we've been saved even for a long time, but how many know our testimony is continuing to be built? Amen? The stuff that you've been through this past week, it can bring somebody to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we look at it like that, we can say, man, God did this just this week for me, and us sharing our testimony has a lot of power that can impact different people. Amen? I think it's always awesome to hear I'll say this. We see a lot of times when young believers or people that just give their life to Christ, they want to tell everybody. You know what I'm saying? They want to tell everybody, man, I gave my life to Jesus, man. They're just so energetic. They're ready to share it at any second. But then as we get in the faith for a while, we're just kind of like, I don't know. My testimony might not be exciting for that person. But God is still a God of excitement. Amen? The things that he saved you from, the things that he changed in your life is still going to be exciting news to somebody that hasn't heard it. Amen? Because believe it or not, a lot of people might share the same testimony that we do. Not the same exact testimony. Their mom wasn't this person and their mom, dad wasn't that person. But they're going to have a similar testimony to us. So we have to realize the power that is in our testimony. Amen? Let's go to Romans chapter 10. This is talking about who is preaching. God has called us to preach, and as we testify, not only is a testimony sharing our story, but testifying also of the goodness of God. Amen. How many of us know that? We must testify of his goodness. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. When you got to say amen. All right. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For their being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. All right? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? This is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Somebody say, which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm going to stop right there and I'm going to come back in a second. What we see is this is how we can tell somebody how they can receive Christ. Now, this is not just, it's not only saying this that will get people saved. It's the belief in the heart, right? How many know when we believe something, like we believe it and it's never going to go away? What's something that you guys believe that you could just say, man, I definitely believe this? Come on, give me some answers. Water is real. Okay. Amen. Amen. That's right. So he believes, even though he hasn't seen it manifest, he believes. Amen. And a belief is something that is not just something that you say, it's something that you act out. So when it says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, there's two things right here. Confess with your mouth, but believe. If I believe that God is the Lord and Savior of my life, I believe it in my heart. That means I'm going to do whatever he says. I'm going to follow what he tells me to do because I believe. We have a lot of people that will confess, yeah, Jesus is God. How many of us know people that say, God, yeah, Jesus is God, but their lifestyle doesn't match it because they don't believe it? They can say it with their mouth, but they don't believe it. Now, if we are a testimony of what it means to believe in God with our hearts, people gravitate towards that. Amen? How many of us have had somebody say, man, I believe you because, man, you really believe that. I can see that you really believe that. I mean, how many of us have had somebody tell us how to do something that they didn't know how to do? So we're like, oh, yeah, sure. Am I the only one that has had that happen? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're trying to build something and somebody's like, oh, this is what you do. This, all you got to do is this. And they had never done it before. And they trying to convince you. And you're like, man, the instructor says something totally different. Okay, we don't believe them because they don't have the belief in their heart and they don't know the fullness of that. But let's keep going. Verse 10, and this further explains what I was saying with the heart. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. All right. So it doesn't stop with just the heart. It produces righteousness in your life. You see that? But it says, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? Let's go to verse 14. It says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Let's stop right here. Our testimony and us sharing and testifying of the goodness of God is not only powerful, but this is how people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. As we continue to profess the word of faith, profess speaking the word of God over people's lives, it says, as faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, how come the Bible didn't just put hearing one time in there? Anybody know? It could be a continual process. Why? Because sometimes it's not just going to be the first time somebody hears the gospel. Right? The first time you heard the gospel, brother, did you give your life to God? The very first time. So that's one case. Precious, the first time you heard the gospel, did you give your life to Christ? She said no. Now, was it she just did she just not hear it, or she didn't get it the first time, right? But that's why God has called us to preach, continue to preach, because faith comes by hearing and hearing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can read the Bible with people, and you know, there's sometimes people be like, oh, man, I didn't get that last time. Even us as Christians, we can read something in the scripture. As we continue to read it, our faith is continuing to be built. Amen. How many of us has read something in the Bible? We read it 300, 200 times. I don't even know if we read it that many times, but we read it a lot of times. And we look in and we like, man, I never saw that in the Bible. And then we highlight it and be like, man, that touched me today. You know, I can go back and look at some of the things that I highlighted, and then I see around there, oh, man, how come I didn't highlight this? This is good. Why? Because it comes by hearing and hearing of the gospel. Even us as Christians, sometimes it's not good enough just to read the Bible. Sometimes it's good to hear ourselves read the Bible or play the Bible. It changes the atmosphere. Amen. It says, but I say they have not heard. Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to the earth and their words to the ends of the world. But I said, did not Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people. Now, I can commentate on that. There's a lot of different reasons why Paul was writing this, because a lot of the Israelites or the people of God heard, they spoke that Jesus was Lord, but their lifestyle was a whole nother lifestyle, right? Because obviously he's putting them in here as a result and saying that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're hearing it. We're going to keep on preaching. It says we're going to leave our hand out all day until they come and pull on that faith line. But they're not listening. So I'm going to send the gospel to somebody that isn't the Israelites. And hey, that's where we came in play. Amen. Because before, I'm not going to get into all that, but we weren't the ones that were the initial people for salvation. Amen. When Jesus ripped the veil, he tore the whole thing apart. And now we can receive Christ. Amen. But as we testify, these are the things that we have to share. Everybody knows Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Therefore, you going to pull that up for me? Starting at verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Let me stop right there. What is authority? When somebody gives you authority, what are they giving you? Rule. What's another word? Power. Everybody say power. So Jesus is saying, I have all power, and I'm going to, what's he going to do? He's about to show us how we can access this power. Amen. Let's keep on going. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and then of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And everybody says amen. Now, how do we get power, this power that Jesus, because he's saying, hey, I'm giving you guys this power. What do we have to do? We got to go. We got to go. Somebody say, we got to go. We got to go forth and preach the message of the gospel. Did you know you receive power as a Christian when you do that? And this is not power to just be like, oh, yeah. Like, I guarantee, if you preach until you're blue in the face, your muscles are not getting any bigger. You know what I'm saying? But in your spirit, you're going to be encouraged. It's going to encourage you. When we see somebody come to Jesus Christ, it's just like, yes. Man, that's my new brother. That's my new sister. He came to the knowledge of Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now I'm empowered to not only say thank God for this soul, but now I'm going to be like, let me go tell this person too. Right? Because as soon as somebody comes to the knowledge of Jesus, it gives us strength to say, hey, man, my labor is not in vain. Because after a while, if we keep telling our brother or our sister, hey, man, you need to give your life to Jesus. This is what the word of God says. And they keep on saying, yeah. They're not listening. After a while, you're like, man, God, we've been praying and trying to reach him for how many years? 3-4 years? God, man, I don't know if he's going to get it. What happened? We're getting drained, right? We're losing the power. But there's power when we share the gospel. Amen? Romans 1:16. We all know this scripture. We've all at least heard it once or twice. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? Come on, read. It's up here. You guys can see it right here. For it is the what? Power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. First to the Jew and also for the Greek. Keep on going. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Once again, faith is a continual place that we're being built in. And it is written, the just shall live by faith. But this, let's stop again. When we look at this, who is this power for? In that scripture, what did it say? For them that believe. So this is how come we see when we get saved and we share the testimony of how God changed our life, how he died on the cross, how he's coming back again. It's exciting for us, but for the world that haven't received it yet, they're like, man, dude, that's foolish, man. You mean you're going to live your life for a God that we cannot see and a myth that happened 2,000 years ago? I mean, they come up with all kind of stuff. I mean, like, I was even at the gym one day. Yeah, this was a long time ago. But I was at the gym, and on the screen it said they found Jesus' bones, right? They said they found Jesus' bones on the screen. And I'm like, man, yeah, right. But I'm going to tell you what it did do. Them people that's like, Jesus ain't real. They're like, see, they found his bones. Right? That's what they're going to say. Now, first of all, you cannot dictate whose bones it is 2,000 years from the time. Like, if you get somebody's bones and you put them next to somebody else's bones that died 2,000 years ago, you're not going to be able to say, oh, that was Jesus right there. Yeah, you can't do that. But what it has done is it has caused confusion in people's minds. Right? Amen. That's what they're trying to say. They're trying to have the proof that Jesus died. He did not raise from the dead. And the Bible says in the last days that Satan is going to deceive not just the world, but even the elect, if possible. So he's going to get all kind of things that, precious, man, that person that raised from the dead, he didn't really do that. Janae, hey, when you prayed for somebody and they got healed, that was just a coincidence. That really didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Quentin, when you were sharing the gospel with that dude, he didn't really get saved. He, you know what I'm saying? He just got a new haircut. You know what I'm saying? Like, basically what they're going to do is trying to deflect every single thing that has happened in God. That's why we have to stay rooted in the word of God, because that is where our power is. Amen? Our power is in the word, and it's in our testimony. Amen? I'm going to keep on going. And I got, 20 minutes left? The power in living a righteous life. Somebody say there's power in living righteous. Now, I'm going to tell you this. There is no favoritism in God, but I will tell you this. If you are one of his child, he's going to take care of you. Amen? The Bible says this in the word of God. The righteous will not be forsaken, as my brother just said, nor his seed begging bread. So God put it, he said, hold up. He didn't say anybody, right? He said the righteous. So what does righteous mean? And we've heard people in church say there's none righteous, no, not one. But once we come to Jesus Christ, he is our personal Lord and Savior. He has took the evil out of us. He's continuing to transform us. So when God sees us, he sees the righteousness of God. Amen. Righteousness means to be simply in right standing with God. Does that mean that we're perfect? No, we even see in the Bible, it says a righteous man falls how many times? Seven, but he gets back up. He gets back up and gets in right place. Now, some people will just fall and they stay down. 10 second count. They're out. Right? They're done. But it says a righteous man is going to get up. And this is not pertaining to boxing. If a righteous man gets knocked out in boxing, then, hey, he got knocked out. But in the spirit realm, a righteous man may fall. That's why it's important that we as the body learn to restore one another. That's why we have to restore our brother or our sister and not be condemning them, because that's the devil's job. Right? How many know the devil's, he's seeking to devour you. He's going to tell you, oh man, you're not really saved, dude. How many times are you going to keep looking at that thing? How many times he, but the word of God says, if I call on him and I repent, he's going to restore me into his righteousness. Amen. So we got to be in right standing. Amen. Say, I got to be in right standing. Psalms 111, verse 6, 111. Oh, he knew that one. He knew that one, huh? Amen. I'm just going to get on these two verses right here. It says, he has declared to his people, there goes that word again, the power of his works. In giving them the heritage of the nations. Let's keep on going. The work of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. Now let's go back to that verse 6 again, because there's something in there that I wanted to see. He declared to his people the power of his works. When we are working in his works, that makes us righteous. Now I will say this. You cannot obtain righteousness by yourself. Amen. You cannot get saved by yourself. You cannot do enough good things to inherit the kingdom of God. But I'll say this. After you get saved, after you give your life to Jesus, there is a way that you must carry yourself. Right? Not to continue to obtain it. Let me say it like this. Not to obtain the kingdom, but to continue to stay in the kingdom. Right? Check it out, man. If you are a king or a queen, there's a certain way that you carry yourself. Kings and queens don't do the things that normal people do. Right? When's the last time you saw the King of England catch a bus? Or call on a taxi. Hey, taxi. No, they don't do that. Why? Because he's a king. Now, let me say this. I know we live in America. If you got to catch a bus or a taxi, that doesn't make you less of a righteous person. Amen. Because Miss Cole was back there. Nicole was back there shaking her head like, I caught the bus. Hey, you still righteous. Amen. But what I am saying is there's a way that we as the children of God have to carry ourselves. I'm talking to a brother right now, and we've been talking about purity. And there's been a lot of stuff that I've been talking to him. And, you know, I instead of telling him, this is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. This. I challenged him. I said, man, look, first of all, how many know everybody that says they're a hooper is not a hooper? Right? This is what I told him. I said, everybody that says, oh, yeah, I'm a baller. I'm fresh on the court. Now, a lot of cats can talk it, but when they get on the court, what happens? Whew. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people like that. That could talk it. They could chop, you know. And what happens is, until you see the proof, you might believe them. They talk good. But the way that they play is not good. Now, a lot of people can talk like they're Christians. And this is what I told them. I said, a lot of people say, I'm a Christian. But look at their life. That's right. Their life will show if you're saved or not. A righteous man desires to put God or prioritize God higher than his own self. Amen? So it's just like this. We see it in the natural. If a husband or a wife says they got two plans, right, and they're clashing, I need to take the car at 6 so I can go here. Wait. I need to take the car at 6 so I can go here. Now, a righteous person, if this was God, let's say God was the husband and we were the wives, because that's what the church is, the bride. And God saying, hey, I need to go this way. And we're saying, wait, God, hold up. God, I mean, that's my favorite time of the day, God. I mean, that's my TV show. It's coming on. But God told me to call this person and share, and just pray with him. Wait, God, hold up. Now we are not in right standing with God. Amen? Because we don't prioritize and put him above ourselves. When we are in right standing with God, it's the same thing. He has full control over what we do. If God says don't watch that, don't watch that. If God says spend some time with your brother and pray, we need to stop every single thing that we're doing and go do what he said. And check it out, man. We live in a democracy where we kind of get votes and stuff like that. But the kingdom of God is a kingdom, right? So it works differently. You can't go to the king and say, hold up, man, hey, the king said this. Hey, we're gonna get a decree together, king, and we're gonna get rid of that law right there. You can't do that to the king. Matter of fact, he might be like, and off with his head on the way to the hallway, just leaving a knife just tall enough for him and take him out. Because a king's word has power. Amen? So when God tells us to do something and we're continuing to give him excuses, and a lot of us have done this, God might have told us to do a certain thing in our life and we're still like, well, God, I don't know if I'm ready. God, I'm trying to, let me ready myself. Let me go to school. Let me do these things. God didn't tell you to do all that. A lot of us is running from the call because we're scared. We fear what God really told us to do. We might think we're not qualified to do the things that God told us to do. We are not in right standing with God. Because the king told us to do something. Amen? That's how the kingdom works. If we're continuing to give God excuses, matter of fact, well, after a while, he'll start sending other people to do our job. Have God ever told you to do something, you didn't do it, and then you see somebody else doing it, and you know God told you to do it. And then how you feel when that happens? Oh, man. Now, I'm going to say this. That doesn't mean that you still can't do it, because we are supposed to be obedient to God. That's a part of righteousness. Am I right? Me being obedient to the word that he says, as I'm obedient, he's going to use me. He's going to take out all the imperfections that are in me and allow people to be impacted by the ministry or the things that he has called me to do. And it's the simple things that cause us to be righteous in God. As we testify, as we're testifying and sharing our testimony with people, if we're not living righteous, it has no value. Right? Nobody wants to hear somebody tell you to do something that they don't do. I think I talked about this a little bit earlier in another way. But if you keep hearing somebody say, hey, man, you could do it. You can run that mile. You could do it. And they ain't ran around the block one time. What are you saying? Like, dude, man, if you don't get out my face, you can run with me. How about you run with me? That actually helps a little bit more anyway, right? How many of you would love to jog with somebody else? But when you jog by yourself, you're like, I'm good. Hey, man, I mean, I remember starting to jog with some other people, and then I see them way up there, and I'm like, oh, God. Oh, man, I'm good, man. I'm going to make it because they're holding me accountable. But let's keep on going. Let's go to Genesis 18, verse 16. Once again, there's something in the righteous that moves God. Those who are living a righteous life, it moves God. Because look at this. It says, then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom. And these men, this is called a theophany. This is when God came to earth in man form. Okay? There's three men. They looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on their way. Let's see what Abraham does. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now, first of all, why is Abraham going to get to hear this? Because he's in right standing with God. Amen? That's the only way, because God said, should I keep it from Abraham? Now, God could have told everybody this exact same thing that was going to happen, but he said, I'm going to tell Abraham. He says, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do what? Righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Now, let's stop right there. If Abraham did not follow in righteousness, he wouldn't receive what God had for him. Amen? Do we see that? So if I'm not living a righteous life, I don't receive all the benefits of the kingdom of God. Now, some people will be like, man, hold up, man. Does that mean you have to live a certain... Yes, you have to live a certain way. You can't just... Everybody that says, the Bible even says, everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will not enter the gates of heaven. They didn't receive what the righteous receive. And that's a cold door to close in somebody's face. Let's go to the next verse. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave. Now, sin is the opposite of righteousness. We see that their sin is out of control, and Abraham is keeping his righteousness in control. He said, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham, somebody say, but Abraham. He still stood before the Lord. So let's see what this righteous man is going to do. And Abraham came near to him and said, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Look at this. It says, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked, God? Now how can Abraham say this? Because those that are righteous, there's something about those righteous people that God has to say, hold up. Wait, he's right. This is what God says. Let's see what he says. Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Will you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Let's see what he says. Far be it from you, and this is Abraham still saying this, to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He's saying, God, by your name, you can't do this. Why? Because that's not what the judge of all earth does. He's not going to punish the righteous for the sins of the wicked. Let's keep on going. So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Hold up, man. So he said if there was 50 righteous cats in Sodom and Gomorrah, cats means people, If there's 50 righteous ones, he wouldn't destroy the city. Somebody say, there's something about them righteous people. Let's keep on going. Let's keep on going. Because then Abraham answered and said, indeed, now I know. I said, I who am but dust and ashes have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Let's say that means 45, right? Would you destroy all the city for the lack of 5? So he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. Once again, there's a righteous, there's something about those righteous people. Let's keep it going. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should, and you know, we can see Abraham like, wait. He said 45. Okay. God, what if there's 40 found there? So he said, I will not do it for the 40. So Abraham's like, okay, cool. And he keeps on going. Let's see. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry with me, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. So Abraham's on a roll right here, right? God is moving with him. He's like, yo, he said 50. I dropped it. I dropped 20 off, and God is still, God wouldn't destroy the city if there was 30 people that were righteous in the city. Let's see what happens. And he said, indeed, now I know I've taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be there. And what did God say? What did he say? He will not destroy for 20. Oh, man. So hold on. Let's keep on going. Then he said, Lord, please don't get angry with me. I know I've been talking to you for a minute. I've been trying to get this number down to a number that I'm cool with, because I'm trying to make sure, because my nephew is really down there, and that's really why I'm saying this. And I know at least he's righteous, right? So he says, man, how about 10? And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Let's keep going. So the Lord went on his way. See, the Lord, he shut the door right there. He said, 10 is enough. But do we see what this is saying? 10 righteous people is enough for God not to destroy a city. Wow. So the Lord went on his way, and as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Is that the last scripture I said? So let's just fast forward. God goes to the city. He sends his angels to the city. And unfortunately, there weren't 10 righteous people that were in the city. But even God in his mercy saved the righteous. Amen. We see that he saved the righteous. Now, Abraham's or Lot's wife, she talked a good game. Yeah, I'm righteous. You know, let me go with you. You're going to save us? All right, yeah, I'm going. But what happened? They gave her a command. Once again, when God gives us commands, we cannot make adjustment to his plans or his commands just to fit our own boat. She was commanded not to turn away, not to look back. And I'm going to say this. It could symbolize this. I'm not going to say that this is really what it meant. Actually, I will say, she looked back because there was a connection with her back there. Right? It wasn't just, oh, there was a big explosion. No, she looked back because there was something in her still attached there, and that's why God turned her into a pillar of salt. That's right. So what we see is she was still connected to the unrighteous. And it, you know what I'm saying? God didn't tell them not to turn back for no reason. Right? I mean, like, she basically the same thing that happened to the other people happened to her in a whole other form. That she was destroyed, the city of God, or the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because there was not enough righteous people in there. I'm going to go to a couple more verses as I start to close. Let's go to Proverbs 15:29. There is a certain people that God stays away from. That sounds crazy to some people, right? But doesn't God love us all? It says right here, the Lord is far from the wicked. Somebody say he's far but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Once again, there's a distinction when we live a righteous life that sets us apart. There's power that we receive that the wicked cannot receive. Somebody would be like, how come God is not hearing my prayers? How come every time I pray, it's not getting answered? Are you living a righteous life? That's your first answer. You live a righteous life and God's going to hear your prayers. I believe that without a shadow of a doubt. Let's go to 1 Peter 3:12. So we see it in the Old Testament and we're going to see it in the New Testament. It says this, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to the prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We see it again. God is requiring us to be righteous. Let's go to James 5:16, and after that, Psalms 34:17. And if you have a Bible, it's good to highlight this stuff so we can know how we can access heaven. Amen. And the powers that are given to us. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of anybody avails much. Is that what it says? Come on. What does it say? The fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So, once again, if you are praying and praying and praying, God, I need you to do this. God, I know you're not going to leave me hanging. You know what I'm saying? I heard that you're a good God. But if you're not doing what he told you in the word already, he's not going to hear it. And somebody be like, that's cold, man. I thought God loves everybody. Yeah, God loves everybody. But like I said, he's going to give to his children. Amen. He loves, like we can love everybody, but we're not going to take care of everybody. Right? Like, man, I love a whole bunch of people in this world. But everybody cannot come live at my house and eat my food. And me take care of everything that they need in their life. Right? I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody feels like that. But why? Because that's, I'm supposed to take care of these people. We were reading in a Bible study the other day that if a righteous man doesn't take care of his kids, he's not righteous. If he doesn't take care of his immediate family and those that are around him, he's not righteous. So how much is God taking care of his immediate family? Last verse, Psalms 34:17, and it says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Now, when we see these things in the Bible, it's no accident that God continues to say righteous. And I want to say this, there is power that we can access in our life by living a righteous life. Amen. We're going to go ahead and close. Heavenly Father, I just pray, dear God, that you would help each one of us not only to be able to share and testify of your goodness and the things that you've done in our life and the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we would also live and do according to what your word tells us, oh God. Dear God, any things that we're struggling with, dear God, we want to be in right standing with you. We want you to be pleased with us, oh God. And we desire you, dear God, to love us, dear God, and cherish us as we live righteous lives, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, anybody, if you've been feeling like you've been struggling with just any of these areas, just slip your hand up. Go ahead and slip your hand up and say, I'm willing to testify of God's goodness more. I'm willing to be to live more of a righteous life. Just slip your hand up. Hallelujah. Okay, I see y'all. Now, everybody that has that, I just want you to stand up because this is not to condemn you. This is not to just say, oh, you're failing as a Christian. This is to say, I'm going to make a stand to do what God has called me to do. Amen. As we said, everything that the word says, we can do. This is what I said when we first got started. But I want you to just pray to God. You can do it in your head. but speak, I'm going to be a righteous. Everybody say this, I will be righteous. Not in my own standing, but in God's standings. I will obey you, God. I will follow you, even when I don't understand. Even when I fear, I will trust you, and I will share who you are to everyone else. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, Michael got the flyer up. This Saturday, we're going to have a healing service. You guys can have a seat. Then we're gonna get out of here. Healing service concert. Once again, we're going to be fasting Thursday through Saturday, 5 hours after you wake up. Because, you know, I don't wake up. I don't know what time I wake up when I wake up. I just do wake up whenever I wake up. So when you wake up, you know what I'm saying? That don't mean I sleep a lot, though, okay? Somebody's like, hey, man, my kids be keeping me up all night. But anyway, 5 hours during the day, we want to take time out to fast. And this is not just not eating food, but just to get ourselves in right standing with God. To tell food, hey, you're not better than God in my life. You don't have control over God in my life. Because some of us, we let food dictate a lot. Right? If we don't eat, we get an attitude. If we don't eat, you know what I'm saying? Somebody's going to be in trouble. Precious, what'd you cook tonight? What? You didn't cook nothing? Like, I guarantee something happens. You know what I'm saying? When you don't eat, that's because we're putting that food at a high level. But we're going to have Brother Greg Ellis. He's going to come. We're going to have Seed Music Ministry. Genuine Life is going to be in the building. Willie Will and So Calm. And they're all going to minister in their forms of music. But we're also going to stand and pray. And as we see these words, it says, bring anyone who is sick and in need of healing. We will pray expecting you to be healed. That's the attitude that we're going to have. Amen. Why? Because we are righteous. So when we pray for somebody, what did God's word says? He hears the prayers of the righteous. Amen. And it also says that we will do greater works than Jesus actually did on this earth. I talked about that earlier, man, but that's how we're going to access power. We're going to put this power to work, amen? It's time for the church not to have their power out, but it's time to power up. Hey, I like that. Power up! Amen. We are dismissed.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the message. I hope your life was touched. I hope God spoke to your heart. If you want more messages, you can reach us at newcreationcc.blogspot.com, or you can go to itunes.com and download other podcast messages. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is area code 206-402-3118, and our email address is newcreationcc@comcast.net. We look forward to hearing from you. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.